Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, go to pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all you non-members out there, sign up for our free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the Apple Store and Google Play. Today, we feature audio from the Elite Business Advice Podcast with Chris Moore. In this episode, Chris talks with Mark Warren from Carpe Diem Inspections about how he has used networking, relationships, and referrals to build his business.
Well, Mark, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here today.
Chris, thank you for it's a privilege to be here and to share with you today. I count it as an honor.
I appreciate it. So tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of what you enjoy doing, what you're passionate about, and all that good stuff.
Well, I'm a 62-year-old recovering businessman. Okay. Been married for 42 years. Okay. That's awesome. The best thing right there. Two sons that are rocking it. And I have four grandchildren and two beautiful daughter-in-laws. I wouldn't have grandchildren if I didn't have great daughter-in-laws.
That's a good perspective. So
family is where I'm at constantly. Not only in my own family developing it, but extended family too. Okay. So been in the inspection business for 20 years now.
Okay.
And the last 5 years, I started my own company, and that's a whole different animal to the ball game.
So you're officially on the entrepreneur roller coaster now.
Oh, totally. Crazy story is when I started my first business, I started three at the same time in three different logistics, one in Albuquerque, New Mexico, one in Phoenix, Arizona, and one in St. Louis. The two of them have never made it yet, okay? One's gone.
Yep.
So I learned a lot.
Yep.
But I spent a lot of time and energy that could have been producing someplace else.
Yep. So what you're saying is you effed up. You failed.
Oh, totally messed up. Listen, time and energy drain you emotionally. And I felt bad because of the promises I couldn't deliver to the people that I had worked with to get them where they needed to be.
Fair enough.
I failed. Yep. And, you know, it's an emotional toll, too, because when you invest in people, there's a lot of emotion goes into it.
Yep.
So that was one of the things I learned in life is that my business runs well here in St. Louis because I'm here logistic-wise and can help navigate those things. And we do have a leader in Phoenix that is coming through. He's failed four times to pass the national test, finally passed it. We went out and celebrated. So now we're on a new journey.
That's awesome.
But I've been in the inspection business for 20 years, 10,000 inspections later, worked for a national company. Now I'm working for myself and trying to develop people. And that's my passion right there is getting the person to the next level.
Okay.
As we talked earlier about potential.
Absolutely. Okay. It's frustrating, isn't it, when you see people with a lot of potential and they just can't see it themselves.
And the other frustrating point is that I don't have the skill set to help them move forward from that point in their life.
Right.
And here again, it may be dependent upon them, but I'm always looking, how can I bring that person to that next level? How can they see that thing in themselves that they need to go?
Well, and I think you do a better job of bringing out that potential in people than you realize because you're very empathetic, you're encouraging, and you're always there to try to help reframe perspective on things.
And, you know, part of my basic philosophy is this, I didn't get there by myself.
Right.
So I want to think that I arrived, you know, I'm something here.
Yep.
There's great accomplishments, but my greater accomplishments is to see that I get that next person to that next level.
Which is awesome. That's a very cool thing. So, well, just to clarify to the listeners, I mean, I didn't bring you on here today to talk about home inspections. So even though that's your business, we don't expect you to teach us how to do a home inspection. Quite frankly, I don't want to know. I know you, and I'm like, hey, Mark, I need a home inspection. So, but what I really want to kind of talk through today is we kind of titled this, you know, how to network your business. And I really see you as a master connector. And, you know, I know you've built your whole business here, as you talked about, over the last 5 years through relationships and networking. And that's what I want to kind of focus in on today with you is some of that stuff. And so what made you take that approach to your business, you know, through that marketing method?
Well, it all started from a book and an ideal. I'm a book man. I develop.
That's why
I read.
We get along well. So.
Yes. If you want to learn and self-educate, then read a book, okay? And I put a reference to, you know, if you want to sit with Tony Robbins, personally, then go get his book.
Yep.
You know, it's that simple. So sometimes I allude to people that I've met with Tony Robbins, Rudy Giuliani, and they say, what are you talking about? You know, and I've read their books.
Yep.
And so you get their mindset. So in connecting with people, I've always looked for the common thread, everything. Now, that takes some research, for their Facebook post, getting to know them, who they know is always a key factor to me.
Right.
It's I make a statement, your net worth is connected to your network. The more people you can service and take care of is the more your business is going to grow. Yeah. It's simple. It's just not easy.
Right.
Okay. You know, you go back to Zig Ziglar. If you help enough people to get what they want in life, you will get what you want in life.
I love that
quote. And the book that revolution for me at one point in my life was The 7 Levels of Communication by Michael Mayer.
Yep.
And it was something very simple that I had not been doing. I always was worried about being transactional. I do a job. I see you later. Good day. Pay me my money. Good day.
Right.
Okay. But then I started building relationships. And it was just one key thing in his book about writing personal power notes. And, and we'll get into that more. But it was just making a relationship.
Yeah.
Getting to know that their kids, their dog's name, okay, what they like, the hobbies. It's actually, you know, part of what we teach at Forge.
Yeah.
Just finding a basic format to do that. And you know you have done well. Like I said, my brother-in-law, he's a analyst. He's done computer programming. But I taught him a few skill sets just like Forge.
Yeah.
Then he felt comfortable about having a dialogue with people who were in the back. He wouldn't have it.
Well, and I think it's important, you know, if people that aren't familiar with The Forge, it's, you know, family, occupation, recreation, goals, and my favorite's excuses.
Yes.
You know, that's how you really get to know somebody. Tell me what your excuses are. But I think that that's a very, when you kind of get used to that, you never walk into a conversation with somebody and be like, what do I talk about, right? You know, sometimes in networking, sometimes you start talking to people and there kind of becomes that awkward silence. What do you do for a living? Oh, what do you do? Oh, are you from around here? Cool. Then what, right? Having that Forge in the back of your mind is like, hey, let me ask about their family. You know, hey, tell me about your family. You know, occupation. You know, just all those different things. It's easy small talk, but it's really, you can also use it to dive very deep with people and to really get to know their true selves.
Yeah, it really is a great tool. I mean, here again, you're uncomfortable, but if you start using it, even if you got to print it out and put it in your hand or write it on your fingers, you know, and there's 5 there, so write it on each finger, you know. Because when I first started in, people say, how do you do that? Well, you don't know how many times I went in. One of the things back in my life, I stuttered when I was a kid. So that was what, and it was W's that I scuttered on. So that was Warren. So I never used my last name. I'm just Mark. Okay. So to overcome that, I took speech class.
Yep.
Not because I wanted to speak publicly, just because I knew I had to attack the problem that I had. And so I've been very fortunate to be able to talk since then and overcome that obstacle. But it's really just having tools.
Right.
It's no different than if you're painting.
Yep.
What? Tools. And if you don't have the right tools, you can't do a great job.
Right.
If you're going to be a great connector, then you got to have the right tools. And so the tools that, you know, I was looking at what the tools when you go to a networking event, what do you do? Number one, it's preparation.
Yeah.
Eisenhower always says this, planning is indispensable, but plans are useless. Because you figure out everything you do. I have called up the guy that is running the networking event, says, who's your top influencers? One time I walked in an event, I told the guy, who's the richest people in the room?
Yeah.
I want to meet him.
Right.
So he introduced me to 3 people. I took him out to lunch and just asked him questions again. How did you become successful? You know, what path did you take? I remember the time that I met, I did an inspection for Mike Matheny.
Yeah.
That was Mike Matheny. Who's the GM?
Muzalak. Yep.
Okay. I inspected his house. And after we were done, I was professional. Then I asked him, how do you become a baseball manager?
Right.
And his story was great. Okay. When they started an expansion club for out in Colorado, Walt Jocketty was out there. He came in. He worked for him. He did everything he was supposed to do. And when Jocketty came to St. Louis, he then asked John to come because John had made himself valuable.
Yep.
And so John's path, you know, I said, what school did you go to for that? And he didn't.
Yeah.
He went in, got in a basic job. His degree is in computer management.
That's crazy.
Yeah, to think that. But he's an analytical guy,
right.
And baseball is analyzed today.
100%.
So it looks at career paths and things. You know, you learn all you can all the time.
Right.
because that skill set, competence, is going to be on how much do you know every day.
Well, and I think it's important, too, to note, like, in my opinion, the best way to learn is from other people's mistakes, right? Because we all know we learn from our own mistakes. And sometimes we learn a little bit better and quicker that way as well, when it hurts a little bit more personally. but I'd rather personally learn from the mistakes you've made throughout your life that's grown you into who you are now, so that I don't make those same mistakes, right? And sitting down with people, and I think that's cool, you know, taking the guys out to lunch and just trying to learn from them, right? You know, in business and entrepreneurship and everything, you know, when you can learn and have somebody to learn from those mistakes and those failures, that's the most powerful way to learn and grow yourself.
And one of the things, I love training my new guys,
yeah.
Okay? Because you have to go over the basics again.
Yep.
And baseball and any sport is always basics. It's the basics, the basics. And what they do is they keep me on task of teaching them the basics again and right. keeping myself. Because after you do a repetition of 10,000 things over time, yes, you become an expert, but you also become jaded.
Right.
Am I really looking at what I'm supposed to do today? Am I paying attention? Right. So keeping that awareness is only done by going back to the basics constantly. So if you're going to build a great networking event, like I said, when I go into it, number one is I find out who's going to be there.
Right.
And then I find out who I really want to meet. Yep. And that's usually the next level of connectors.
Yeah.
And those connectors, sometimes it does. They're not the people you think. You know, it may be the carpet guy that's the best connector in here, but he's going to put you in touch with the person that's going to be the next one.
Well, and I think a key thing to go into, and we might get into this a little bit later, but, you know, and go into an event like that is knowing who is good people for you to connect with, right? You know, when I had my painting company back in the day and stuff, I knew that real estate agents, interior designers, you know, people that were dealing with homeowners and transactions were the best constant source of referrals for us, right? Because I'd rather network with referral partners to get multiple leads coming in over time versus networking with homeowners to get one job, maybe,
exactly.
maybe one extra referral. And I know you've taken that same, you know, philosophy in your business. And so I think it's important to identify that and to figure out who is good, who's a good connection for you to know, a good referral source that can help you build a pipeline of leads coming into your business.
You know, that's part of your strategy. Preparation. It's figuring out who you need to contact, who you need, because I'm like you. I'm not looking for the one-shot wonder. I'm looking for what's going to do. You know, there's an old saying says, if you want to run fast, run alone. If you want to run far, run with a group.
I like that.
Okay. So there's the more people you do and the more you expand and it's more groups, then you got to figure what groups work for you. There's all kinds of networking events out there.
Yep.
People ask me, who are you connected to? What's the things? I've never joined a BNI group. Now, right. Listen, I tell my guys and I pay for them to join a BNI group.
Absolutely.
Because the structure and the things are there that you need to learn.
Right.
So I have originated some other things to build a network.
Yep.
One of the things I always say, I ask myself questions when I go into a network, what am I going to put into the event?
Right.
Now, what am I going to take out?
Yep.
Okay, because if you don't come in with the mindset of how can I, it may be the one person you talk to. And then another thing is know the originators, the influencers, the people that you have that you know you wanted to contact that day. And then you got to be comfortable in your own skin.
I like that.
If you like to dress sharp.
Yep.
Be who you are. If your guy feels comfortable in your painting clothes or in your inspection clothes or whatever, one of my employees, one of my experiences was I was just going to let him figure out who he was and do it.
Yep.
Okay.
I like that.
And then we had to change some of those things because it's a level of professional, and then it's also perception.
Yeah.
If people see you walk up in grunge, then how's he going to paint my house? Okay. If you're a painter.
You know, it's funny. The first networking event I ever went to when I had my painting company, I literally showed up in a suit. And I was talking to somebody, and they're like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I own a painting business. And they literally looked at me, and they're like, no, you don't. And I was like, no, you didn't hear me. I said, I own a painting business.
Right.
I'm a business owner first, a painter second. I said, I hire guys to do the painting. And they were like, that's interesting. And it was kind of funny, right? You know, because most painters are going to show up and paint clothes, right. Maybe a polo, which, again, there's nothing wrong with that.
You're supposed to have paint on you.
Yeah, exactly. Be comfortable with it. If I had paint on my suit, I was going to be mad. But it was, you know, it showed people my approach to the painting industry and that it was different than a lot of the other stuff. And I think that's also kind of what helped. Now, I'm not saying you have to, you know, show up in a suit to networking events, but, you know, dressing professionally and having that mindset that you're a business owner. And that what you guys do is painting, right? It's a different perspective and it catches people's attention.
It really does. And that's part of, you know, Chris, that's part of the perception that you even have about yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to dress up in a business suit and go to a jacket to make yourself, I'm a business owner, not a producer.
Absolutely.
You know, because mindset matters totally. When I talk about dress appropriately, yes, you know, make sure you got clothes on when you show up.
Right.
But how do you fit in your skin? And sometimes you have to change what skin you're in.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it goes back to, you know, growing and stretching yourself a little bit too, right? If you maybe feel a little comfortable or a little bit like a poser in that blazer, you know, in jeans, that's kind of a good thing maybe because it will stretch you into that role. So force yourself into it without too much uncomfortableness, right? But it is funny as we talk about this, you know, obviously there's been a lot of Zoom calls and video meetings here in the last year and a half. And I noticed the times that I was in a meeting and I'd always be in a polo, you know, something like this, right? But let's be honest, we all did it. I'd be in basketball shorts, you know, slides, flip flops, whatever. And I started realizing that the times that I actually put like jeans and dress shoes on for the Zoom calls that they would never know, it helped me get in the right mindset. Right. And so I started being very attentive depending on what call I was on. If I was meeting with a client, I would always, you know, dress up a little bit just to get me in that right mindset.
Yep.
If it was just a relaxing call, a networking, getting to know somebody call, maybe be a little bit more casual. But it's funny how you talk about that, even on Zoom calls and video conferences, even what people can't see, it goes back to that mindset you have going into it.
Have you ever read the book Alter Ego? It's a new one. It's out here right now. And the whole concept of the book is what we're talking right now.
Okay.
Projecting yourself to be something that you're not. When I watch my grandson, he WWE constantly.
I love it.
He comes in, he does a great job. He embodies who that is.
Yep.
Okay. Whether, it's John Cena or whoever it is. And I realized that in his little mind, he thinks he is that guy.
That's awesome.
Okay. And so I started putting that in my own head.
Yep.
What do I want to become? How do I become that person? When I walk into a marketing event, it's just one of the things. Yep. I want to be the person that compliments a lot of people, find the good in them. One of my good friends, Tony Holt, taught me one day when I was walking in, he made me feel like I was king walking into it. He made me feel.
That's awesome. I said,
Tony, you taught me how to network with people.
Yeah.
When I meet up with a person, I try to build in them at that moment that they feel like it's an honor to be here with you today.
Yeah. That's okay? Cool.
Because here again, we all want that level of appreciation, and you got to be able to pull that out. And it's very easy to do here again. It's just complimenting them, appreciating the things, who they are. And he always made me feel that. And I have complimented him and told him, you taught me a skill set that day when you did that.
That's really cool.
You know, one of the things I keep going back to networking, because that's part of where we're here today, you always want to get there early.
Yes.
To mingle ahead of time, pick out the people you have, and you always want to stay late.
Yep.
When I first started with Brian McRae, I would show up early and say, Brian, what can I do to help? It may be just putting out pencils on the tables, whatever it was. Standing there, he'd say, Mark, do this for me, okay? To kind of lighten the load, because everything happens, and the guy that's running it usually gets bombshell. People want to talk to him, everything, and so you almost got to deflect some things because there's a mission and a purpose when you're there. And then I always stayed late.
Yeah.
I'd pick up the pencils again, clean up the trash, and that kind of things. And it becomes noticed, and the leaders will buy into you, help you. Because I have a philosophy. You need to lead with the helping hand.
I like that.
Give before you get. You know, Adam Grant's book, Givers and Takers, is just true. Think of that mindset of how I'm going to help somebody. Because you're going with open hands.
Right.
If you go in with an agenda, you're probably going to get shot down.
Well, and I think that's one of the biggest things. And so next we'll kind of jump into, you know, what the three biggest mistakes we see when people are networking. And I'll just kind of throw that one out there is people walk in with the wrong agenda, right?
100%.
It's all about, you mentioned it earlier, what can I take out of this event? What, you know, and that is okay to an extent. And there's a time and place for that, right? When you've given a lot, every once in a while, you need to be in a mindset to take a little bit. But I think people walk in with that hidden agenda. So feel free to kind of expand either on that or any of the other mistakes you really notice people make, you know, when it comes to networking.
Yep. So I was sitting there thinking about what's the three biggest mistakes. First one being unprepared.
Yep.
not knowing your agenda, not even, you know, you may even need to go in and look at the place you're going to be sitting at or where you're going to do, so you get an idea of the expansiveness, you know, or it's going to be a small venue or a big venue. Even position yourself. Where do I want to be? Where do I want to sit? Who am I need to contact? And so being prepared, knowing your originator, knowing the people you're after, knowing who you want to contact with. So I think unpreparedness is the first thing.
Okay, I like that.
And then here again, if whether you're a person of affirmations, when I walk into any event, John Gordon writes a book called The Energy Bus. And it just teaches you a skill set of how to raise the energy in the room. Just like right here when you're talking. Chris, did you really know about this? I can change the tempo, just like a basketball game right. or anything. You can change it in how you present yourself and bring in the energy in. So I realized that. Speaking louder at a moment.
Right.
Not too loud, but
right.
loud.
But not too soft.
So those are prepared things that you've got to do, you know. And then emotionally, that's what I'm talking about. You can't walk into an event with a down attitude.
Right.
You're going to attract who you're like. You're going to get in a conversation with somebody that is a negative conversation. You're not going to build. You got to be building people constantly. And I think is not networking.
You just say, not doing it?
Yeah. If you're at a networking event and you're talking to the buddy that you're playing golf with every week, you're missing the point.
Yep.
I used to teach my guys this. Don't talk to each other. Because you got plenty of time. You're there to meet the people you are. You only got a certain amount of time frame.
Right.
So you got to utilize that hour or whatever there is in and out and done.
Well, and I'm super guilty of that. You know, I mean, I think as people, we naturally want to show up and we want to talk to people that we're comfortable with, that we know, that we like, you know, and all those things. And so we gravitate towards that. And then we have that regret and that remorse afterwards of like, wow, I was just here for an hour and a half. Yeah, I didn't. You know, yeah, it was really great to, you know, talk to John, but guess what? We're playing golf on Saturday together, right? And so it goes back to that being intentional and getting out of your comfort zone, you know, and showing up and talking to those people. It's good to catch up, but hey, I'm going to actually go try to introduce myself to this person or, you know, ask your friends, hey, do you know, like, I see that, you know, so-and-so is a real estate agent. I really would love to connect with her. Do you know her by chance? No. Okay. Well, I'm going to go see if somebody else does and can introduce us, you know, doing those types of things. And again, it goes back to being intentional with it and having a purpose in who you're looking to connect with.
A game plan.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other big thing, you know, and again, I was guilty of this too when I started networking is we think showing up and handing out business cards and playing the business card game is like how you network, right? Like, okay, if I walk out of here with 50 business cards, it was a good day. But guess what? You're going to go home and put them in a box. You're going to maybe get them out if you need somebody and you don't know anybody. And I think I might have met somebody in this industry at this event. And the people that you gave cards to are going to do the exact same thing. Yeah. If they even put them in a box, they might just go straight in the trash, yeah. right? So I realized that rather than, you know, it was quality over quantity. Showing 100%. Up and trying to, you know, get and meet 100 people doesn't do you good when you're basically speed networking. You know, having 120-second conversations isn't going to get you very far. Is compared to, I would rather show up and have one really deep conversation with somebody that's yep. a good person to know and connect with, and then schedule a follow-up coffee or lunch. And, you know, that is more productive to me than showing up and getting 50 to 100 business cards.
Yep, because you just hit it well. I did a speed network.
Yeah.
Okay, I had a buddy of mine come in. I said, okay, $20. Who can pick up the most cards today? Okay, yep. Yeah. So we just went speed. Hey, you got a business card? Hey, you got a business card? Hey, you got a business card? We went in, and so you're exactly right. Then I had all these business cards. What am I going to do with them?
Yeah.
Okay? So I have enough business cards at my house that I can heat my house for the entire winter. Okay? What that helps is nothing. They're sitting there dormant. I mean, yep. I've got stacks of them here. Yep. But then you learn, like you say, who's the key person that I need?
Yep.
Let's slow down. Do it. You're not going to make all those connections. And then you made another point. You can collect all the business cards. And then how are you going to F up?
Right.
We know the F up is the number one game in here. How are you going to follow up with yep. what you did? You know, last month we did our masterminds. Yep. And so I sent everybody out a card. All right. And I PS'd it. All right. And I said, who wants to do lunch? Well, three people call me, want to do lunch.
Love it.
So we went and did lunch, and I scheduled them all on the same day. So we did a stack day.
I love it.
So, and then the people that I met, I introduced to the next people, So there was a connection there, added value to each person, learned about the person, got down a little deeper into Forge that we talk about. And so there's all kinds of skills, again, that we have developed, that we put together, and it just works, folks.
Absolutely.
It's constantly.
Well, I mean, I've seen it work in your business. I've seen it work in, you know, a lot of people's businesses, especially those of us that are involved in Mastermind. So as we're talking about the power notes and the cards, that's kind of what we got coming up next here. So tell me, how do you use that? What is a power note? How do you use that? In what ways? You kind of just shared a little bit about that, but walk us through kind of your thinking behind that and how you actually use it.
Well, it's the best tool in my toolbox.
Okay. It's built your business in the last 5 years.
It has. When I first got it, Michael Mayer had a book, Seven Loves of Communication. Yep. And he had power notes, okay? Power notes was power was personal, optimistic, written, effective, and relational, okay? So that is a good acronym to understand what you're doing right. And then he gave seven things on how to write that note. And so, and those are using unbranded cards.
Yep.
People understand, I don't have them with my logo. You can use your logo. You could use, if you like golf, put a golf guy on. But then he says write in blue ink. Blue ink is more, you don't want to write in red because that's how they crossed out my papers. That's how I got my F's when I went to school, okay? I had all red on all of it.
There's a negative connotation.
Yeah, there's a negative.
Okay.
You don't want that.
Good to know.
And then the words. What words are you going to use? That's it. It's not about you that day, you know. It's about them. So how can you write to them? Totally. Be specific in your praise.
Okay.
You want to find something that you can identify about that person that you can write back to them to compliment them, to encourage them, to build on. And then do it with positive projection. Now, that's my key to what I love to do every day. What you can see in a person that they can't see in themselves. And every day is asking the questions and then figure out how can I push this forward on them. And then write rightly. You want to write to a certain slant because of how the mind thinks and that kind of stuff. It's been proven that if you write to the right, the mind sees it in a different way. Then the power of the PS, like I said, I put down a piece of, hey, call me for lunch. Would love to go out to lunch for you. And so that made the opportunity. Then it, when the PS is done, it shows me who wants to meet with me.
Right.
Okay. Who will
that hunger level.
Who will carve out the time, you know? Because if you're not developing yourself and you're not, the law of attraction works. You're going to attract the people that need you in your life. And then you need to seek out the people that you need in your life. Who is that person you want to become with? Who do you think is successful? Who has the skills that you need to learn from? So that is where I'm at. The best tool in my toolbox, one of the things you want to do is you want to touch their heart before you ask for their hand in business.
Absolutely.
Because, here again, you can go into transactions, but you want to build a relationship. I teach my guys on site. Use those tools to touch the person that you're doing, because in our business, in the inspection industry, we're finding all the crap.
Right.
Yeah. So it can be a negative connotation.
Your job is to find the negative.
Yeah. So how do you turn that positive? Well, you create confidence between you and the consumer, the person you're inspecting for, and you can only do that on a relational basis.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's, you know, there's something to be said about the power notes, you know, and my handwriting sucks, so it takes me a long time to write a power note so it's legible and they actually know what I'm saying. But you know, we've gotten in such a digital technology, and I'm a technology person as much as anybody else. But, you know, when you get something handwritten in the mail, you know, because you physically mail out these cards, snail mail, you know, USPS, it'll be there within 2 to 28 days. You know, it definitely, there's something to be said about that, right? When you get the mail and you're used to getting junk, bills, junk, and then you see, oh, there's a card here from Mark Warren. Like, and then you read it. And I think for me too, there's that personal touch. You can send a quick text follow up. Hey, thanks so much for meeting today. Thanks for showing up. Same thing with an email. It's going to have an effect, right? It's something, as Michael Mayer talks about in that book, you know, seven levels of communication, right? It's towards the bottom because it's not as impersonal. But when you actually have to take time to sit down, write out a thank you note or a encouragement note or whatever it's going to be, right? And then you have to mail it. You have to spend, 48 cents on a stamp, whatever we're at right now. It really goes to show, like, wow, Mark actually took time to, like, reach out, you know? And it's those little things that we can do in business that really, as you've seen, has amplified your business in the last 5 years.
Yeah. When I first started this, like I said, it was an aha. I can tell you where I was. It was just, oh, my gosh. I've been doing business with these people for a couple of years, but I've never touched their heart and did it. So I started doing it, and my business grew exponentially.
Yeah.
That year, I ended up in top out of 350 guys across the U.S.
Right.
As inspectors in Which a national company. And it just, it did it because it made a different scope of business. So, you know, you can do a job, but you got to touch the person when you do it, you know, because second thing is I didn't start off good and I still fail. Okay. When you talk about writing, there's times I cross off words, leave it there, send a card because you know what? I'm a flawed individual. They're a flawed individual. Yep. It's not.
It makes it more relatable though.
Exactly. I'm real, okay? Now, that person that's a grammar, like one time I had a lady call me and send my report back because it wasn't grammatically correct. Well, she was an English teacher. Right. What do you expect?
You're going to offend like 1% of people, right?
Okay.
And that's the good thing about this podcast is there's going to be a flaw in here because we're not perfect and we're just trying to be more relatable for the listeners. So I appreciate both of us, you know, messing up here and there. So
yeah. Listen, you're going to fail forward.
Right.
And if you're not failing forward, what are you doing?
Right.
You know? I don't want mediocrity to be part of my life, you know. One of my principles, and we talk about it, is ACE, okay? And that's attitude every day, and then competence. Do you have the skill set? And then doing it all with excellence.
And, I like that. I like that.
As I sat down with a lady yesterday, I said, and excellence is an ugly word when you get down to it, you know, because it's not just in the skill of business. It's a skill in my relationship with my wife, with my sons, with my business partners, with anybody I come in contact every day. It's mentally, physically, spiritually.
Right.
It's all those areas because you can't become excellent just in business and then have this downside here personally.
That's a good point.
Because if you don't grow yourself, I mean, I'm 62 years of age and I'm working harder to grow myself ever because today as a leader of my company and the people I'm surrounded with, I have to be responsible for not just me, myself, and I today.
Yep.
I'm responsible for all these people down line, you know?
Absolutely.
And so, but you have the rewards. See, this is the thing that I tell people. Yeah, you can run alone, but you're only going to have the nobody's going to be there with you when you walk through the hard times. Nobody's going to be there with you when you get your victory.
Right.
There's nothing to be accomplished. Yeah, you can stick to another ribbon up on your wall because you ran a marathon, but if you can't party with the people, who really cares?
Yep. That's where the relationships come into.
Yeah.
That's good. I got a couple other questions I want to get through here before we wrap up. So one thing you kind of mentioned earlier, your passion is investing in others. And how have you done that in your business and how do you use investing in others? How do you use your business to invest in others, I guess I should say?
It comes down to my basic philosophy. In other words, I'm a person of faith, okay? So when you stem from that right there, my basic philosophy is I was put here for a purpose with the Creator on this earth to create better things in people through that power of connecting. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, okay? And so that is my primary motivation every day in life. How can I improve someone else's life? And I realized if I have that attitude, my business grows because it's just natural.
Right.
It's kind of like if you ever lived on a farm, you plant seeds.
Yep.
Then you have to take care of those seeds, and you have to weed those seeds, and you have to water those seeds. So it does really, the analogy works perfect in business.
Yep.
You got to have that, what's my end result to be the person that I end up sowing into becomes fruitful at the same level in every area of their life again. Because when I deal with people in my business, I'm not just looking to hand a report to them. I'm looking to change their life in some way because the guy yesterday was from Nepal. He knew nothing about buildings. So my job was to slow down and explain to him every basic detail about a house.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
Yep.
Okay.
That's cool.
So investing in people means all different kinds of things. I remember my grandson was playing baseball the other day and his dad was dogging him because he hadn't had a hit in 18 times. And so Grampy came back and wrote and say, what did you learn this week?
Right.
What did you do? You know, it's perception again, you know, because when you become an ace, all right, it comes at attitude and mindset, how you wake up every day.
Right.
If I was going to ask a question to a person, how do you wake up in the morning? Oh, not too good. I do. No, I'm talking about how do you mentally wake yourself up every day?
Yeah, most people would say coffee.
Yeah. Okay. Coffee or a monster drink.
Right,
okay.
Exactly,
okay.
Whatever.
So some kind of caffeine, take some kind
poison.
Of boost. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. What's your drug of choice is all I say. Okay. So when I wake up every morning out on my tree on the backyard, 24/7. I have put a light over my entire family. It's me and my wife was established in 1979. My son and his wife, my other son and his, and then their children. So I have a motivation every day. If I get up at 3 a.m. and I see that light, I have motivation.
Yep.
Okay. You got to know your big why, what Simon Sinek says.
Yep.
Okay.
That's cool.
And since I'm a person of faith, I know my big why.
Right.
And I have the belief, okay, that I can change people's lives every day.
Yep. Well, I think you always have an option, right? You can be a positive influence, you can be a negative influence, right? And I think that's what's exciting is we actually have that choice. You know, things are going to happen to you in life. Life's 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to
100%.
It. 100%. But you always have that choice. And I think I appreciate you because you take that a step further. You're not just what happens to me and how I react. It's, hey, I can either go be a positive influence to other people or I cannot be. But you always focus on that. And I like that. So one thing I want to hit on real quick is, you know, the way you guys kind of structured your business and the model of your business, it's definitely a win-win for you and the team of inspectors, you know, that you're building. What made you kind of go that route and how has that helped you guys grow your business through that model?
Well, you know, go back. My wife worked for a dentist for years.
Okay.
So when we got ready to start our business, she says, I'm not a business person. I said, oh, yes, you are.
Right.
She said, I don't know how to run it. I said, yes, we do. So I asked her, what did you not like?
Ooh, I like that.
So I turned what we didn't like into the business and what I had done. What are the things that I want to make sure we do for our employees and the people I have from this past experiences that I did not like that?
Yep.
Okay. One of the things when a guy comes in and I train and recruit him, I expect him to leave me one day.
Right.
You say, well, that's kind of dumb, okay? You invest in people, and then they just walk away. No, I realized that if I'm going to grow people, I want them the same opportunity I have to grow to the next level in their life. Now, give me a little payback off
right.
my money.
Right.
Don't just walk away, and I've had that happen, okay? But those are learning curves.
That's cool.
And if you invest in people to see what they can become and expect that, then you won't be disappointed.
Right.
It's always – when I left the company that I was with – me and my boss, personal friend, cried because we knew it was a separation. Okay, and they've offered me great money to go back to work with them, everything there is, but I could not grow in that environment anymore.
Right.
Okay, so I learned from working with a corporation the good things it was and the not so good things.
And I think that's a good point for anybody listening to this too is think back to the bosses you've had, the businesses you've worked for. Most people that are entrepreneurs at some point had bosses and other companies they worked with. And think about those things that you didn't like, right? You know, and I think that's cool that you guys kind of looked at your business through that lens. It's like, hey, what are the things we didn't like and how can we change that and better that? And again, I think that just helps add to that growth mindset. So,
yeah, and every day, you know, there's, like I said, there's certain principles I live by constantly. You know, it's not about me every day.
Right.
It's about helping that person that I'm in. And Zig Ziglar said it right. He built a great business and motivation and his son's continuing it on. You help enough people get what they want in life, you'll get what you want in life.
100%.
And the great thing is when you do that, we all get to have the party together.
Yep.
You know, I have one of my philosophies, celebrate everything, okay? Even celebrate your losses, celebrate your, okay, the things
the
that you,
things.
It doesn't matter. No. Celebrate them because it's a mindset that there's more out there, more abundance, more things I can do. And I really do believe in yourself that you can change the person's life. When I go to Quick Trip, I know how I talk to that person behind that counter. I don't care if he's minimum wage.
Right.
Change his life. Tell him how important his job is to you. Yeah. Think if you had to make your own coffee every morning.
Right.
Okay?
Yep. That's a good
so
point.
So it really is. It's a mindset of how you treat people, yourself, and you got to understand how much value you have to others.
I like it. That's awesome. Well, as we kind of wrap up here today, what's one final piece of advice you have for small business owners listening to this podcast?
Hire a good accountant.
Hire a good accountant. Okay. I like that.
That's one of the things I learned when I first started the business. Okay. It took us over a year to get everything straightened out for the other guy. We didn't. Okay.
Right.
That's one. No, really approach it with every day. It to me is mindset and what you do.
Yeah.
It's coming up with why you got to do it. The opportunity I have, as I was speaking to my brother earlier this morning, there's so many opportunities.
Yeah.
Are you, as Carolyn Dweck talks about, a fixed mindset?
Right.
Or a mindset that says, I have open opportunities every day. At 62, I look at my bonus time. I want to do more. Okay. I don't want to settle back, throttle back. I don't want to retire to Florida and watch the beach and things go in.
Right.
I mean, I want to enjoy all those things.
Yeah.
But I realize I have a skill set at 62 that is, how much have I learned?
Right.
And how much do I need to put into people? You know, when I coached baseball and basketball, I was investing in people. And now it's at another level. I get to invest not just in business.
Right.
Because if you want to put the whole package together, you got to figure out how you're going to deal with your family, how you're going to do with your business, how you're going to do with your friends. It's all part of the whole package. You can't have a good, thriving business and not be able to enjoy it.
Yep.
The purpose of business is to fund the perfect life.
I like that.
And when you finish out and understand what your perfect life looks at, you know, then you'll have no problem going to work every day and being motivated to be the best things you can. You know, one of my goals is, and I'm not there yet, is to profit $1 million in 1 year.
Yeah.
I have some buddies of mine that own some barbershops. They own OxyFresh here.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, after 10-plus years in business, they profited $1 million.
That's okay? Awesome.
And they started with nothing.
Yep.
So as an entrepreneur, you just got to dream big. I mean, every day challenge yourself to think beyond what you ever can. You know? And so that's part of what I would say.
Awesome. I love it. I don't think we could have wrapped that up any better. So I appreciate you being here today. Thanks for taking time and sharing with us. And yeah, look forward to maybe having you back sometime in the future.
You got it. Chris, it's such a privilege and an honor to work with you today.
Thanks, Mark.
Have a great one. Thank you.
Paint Ed podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and is made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.